Let us pray. O gracious God, help us to be ever growing in your wisdom. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is good to be back with you. It has been a good time away, but it is good to be back. I left 3 Sundays ago, 3 weeks ago, Sunday afternoon to head to Oregon for a week of my doctoral ministry program. We have to do called an online hybrid class, which means you do most of the work online, but 1 week a year we have to meet in person. And it was a good week, and as some of you know, it's when I was presenting to my colleagues and to the professors my doctoral ministry project. And that project, which I'll give you the title again, it's long, Nurturing Compassion in Eureka First United Methodist Church in Regards to the History of a Region of Settlement in a Region Inhabited by Indigenous People. I always bumble it. And, of course, it had to do with our presentations from the Native American community and from Steve Peacock, a descendant of settlers. And the project was very well received and talked about a lot amongst folks. And I'm not finished yet, though. If you are a Facebook friend of mine, I didn't post, but lots of other people posted, and I got names, so you'd see, oh, congratulations. And, well, we did our presentation, but we still have to write second and final drafts, you know. So, but it's very close to being done. So that was my first week away. And then I drove from Salem, Oregon to San Francisco. Too long a drive. I don't recommend it in one day. I left at 8 in the morning and got to San Bruno at 8 at night. You know, I stopped on the way. It's not 12-hour solid driving, but it's too long. but to join part of our family before we went off to Disneyland with almost all of our family. So we, you know, I met Sheila and Jern, her husband, and four of their children at that point were there in San Bruno with our daughter Erin. So it was a pretty full house. It's not a big house, and so people were sleeping everywhere, you know. And then we drove to Los Angeles to Anaheim to Disneyland and joined where there were 27 of us all together. Now, if you talk about our children and their spouses and our grandchildren, there's only 22. One was not able to be with us. Lucas is a student in college in England, and he wasn't able to come. But all of the rest of our, we had 10 of our 11 grandchildren there. And then one daughter has 3 foster children, and we said, she had just gotten them just before Christmas, and we said, they need to come. And another daughter who's not married said, can I bring my best friends? And so she did. So we were a large group, and it was wonderful. But it's different, isn't it? Have you done that? Especially those of you who live one person or two people most of the time. And then you're 27 people. Yeah. And those of you who have regular morning routines that might involve some quiet chair time, throw it out the window, especially with people with jet lag. You know, you're dealing with. So first morning in San Bruno, I'm up early to go for a walk, and two of my granddaughters are up. I think it was all three of the youngest granddaughters, 14, 11, and 9. I never saw them that early another morning, but that morning they were up, and they went for a walk around the block with me, and we saw this glorious sunrise, and it was a pretty special way to begin the time together. But as you know, that one of my morning practices is walking. And so during those 2 weeks, the week up in Oregon and the week in Disneyland, and then that extended over the weekend up in Northern California with more family, the one practice I could do in the morning was walk. That was it. Sometimes it was alone, and sometimes it was with others. And I recognized that first morning, I thought, don't worry about those things I'm going to read, the journal writing, forget it. You can't do it. Some of you have been there, and you go, But it was good. It was good time together. I told Rob this morning, I woke up. When I first woke up, I thought, so where am I? Friday, we had part of our family up here. Friday, we drove to San Bruno to take them to the airport, and they flew out yesterday afternoon, and they will arrive 3 a.m. Cyprus time home. So, what is that? 10 hours back of that, I don't like to do 6 o'clock or something tonight, or 5 o'clock tonight, this afternoon in Cyprus. And so I said, I woke up thinking, well, where am I sleeping? And then my next thought was, and how many people are in the house? So it's been, and then, you know, I came back here on Monday and went to work. So it's been good, but it's good to be back and be here. The scriptures today are so full. They are, every one of them could be 10 sermons. And they do relate to one another. And the biggest thing that I think ties them together is Paul's words to the Corinthians when he talks about the wisdom of God. Because they're all about the wisdom of God. Now, I think we could say that about all of our scriptures. They're about the wisdom of God. But these are core teachings in our gospel lesson and in our Hebrew Bible. Core teachings of our faith that they're really all we need. I had a member of our congregation in Kings Beach who said, if all you ever read is Matthew 5 and take it to heart and apply it, you will be a true follower of Jesus. Those are the Beatitudes. It's the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And they, you know, we hear them, we've heard them so many times, we sang them slightly different words than the translation today, but pretty much close on, and in some ways we love them, but in some ways we don't understand them fully. I mean, what the first one, there's 9 of them all together, 9 blessings. And the first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. What's poor in spirit? What do you think that means?
When you're feeling down.
When you're feeling down. Yeah, and that's, it's like, how can you be blessed then? I'm going to remind us of the ones in form that we most are common with. But then I'm going to read you how Eugene Peterson translates them, and I think they help us really get to the core of what that meaning of blessed are the poor in spirit. So Eugene Peterson says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and God's rule. So the second one, in the form we know it, is blessed are those who mourn. Hard, you know, all these Beatitudes, all these blessings, are for things that we think of as less than, don't we? How can you be blessed when you mourn? And Peterson translates it, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. And then the third one, blessed are the meek. What is meek? What is meek? I think we...
It's like the opposite of bold.
Oh, opposite of bold is one.
Not bodacious.
Here's what Peterson says. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought.
But you can't be prideful. That's not
good. You can't be prideful.
No. That's who you are.
Yeah. The fourth one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Peterson says, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. God's food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. And then, blessed are the merciful. What does merciful mean? It's a word we don't use too much. What does merciful mean? Anyone bold enough to define it?
The ones
who forgive are the merciful. Peterson says, you're blessed when you care. And that would be at the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. But the sixth one is, blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. How many of us would raise our hand and say, I'm pure in heart? How many would raise our hand and say, I'd love to be pure in heart? You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. The seventh one is, blessed are the peacemakers. And when I was remembering this, I was thinking, that's how Peterson translates it. I don't think it'll be different. No, he says it, he explains it a little bit more than, blessed are the peacemakers. He says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Is that an easy thing to do? That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. The eighth one is, and the eighth and ninth one sound very similar in the New Revised Standard as we read it, but I think Peterson separates out their meaning a little bit more. So I'm going to, eight is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Peterson says, you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. And then the ninth one is, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So he says, not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. Is that easy to do? For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. I love the Beatitudes. I love them when we sing them. But I love to have them kind of fleshed out a little more in our modern language, in our modern take. And it's certainly a core part of the wisdom of God. Our Micah reading, which we've all heard, I think, a number of times, let me backtrack a little bit. Oftentimes we hear people talk about the God of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible is different than the God of the New Testament or Christian Bible. It's the same God. And it really isn't a changed God. Sometimes there's a changed perspective. But I think when we go to something like the teaching from the prophet Micah and hear these words as Micah says God is saying them, that's the core of all of the Hebrew Bible. It's the core of our faith as Christians, as Jews, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. You know, I recently, when I spoke on behalf of the Terrigen, really stood in solidarity with the Wiat tribe against the wind project that was coming here, because I read the science and I heard the voice of the Wiat people, I used John Wesley's three simple rules to frame what I said. John Wesley said, do no harm, do good, John Wesley actually said, do no harm, do good, practice the means of grace. That practice the means of grace is language we don't use all the time, and it has to do with doing those things which connect us to God. And so Reuben Job, when he wrote about those three simple rules, he said, stay in love with God. So the three rules, as Reuben wrote, Job phrased them, were do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. I think they are do justice, that's do no harm. Practice kindness, do good. And let's see, I have to say it all together. Do justice, walk humbly with your God. So walk humbly with your God is that stay in love with God. Well, so when I spoke at the Board of Supervisors, I phrased it this way. I said, do no harm, do good, stay connected to your spiritual source. And I cited the reasons why The science showed that this project was doing harm. That yes, it might be doing good, but did that good really outweigh the harm? And then it was going to disconnect the Wiat tribe from their spiritual source. We can apply those three rules to so much of our life. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God, or do justice. We hear a lot. It's so funny. I was talking to a different daughter, not my oldest daughter, a different daughter this week, and she said, "So what are you going to preach on Sunday, Mom?" And I tell her the scriptures, and she said, "Don't touch on politics." But there's this thing I just have to, I have to say. I've been noticing, for some reason lately, more than in other times, walking, seeing bumper stickers on the back of cars that say, "I vote pro-life." And I want to create a new bumper sticker to put under it that says, that means no killing, no war, no capital punishment, and health care for all. Justice is more than one piece of life. Pro-life is more than one piece of life. So justice is not, some people think justice is retaliation. That's not what it is. It's about doing right for all. Doing right for all. And then, of course, practicing kindness. What other place in the world practices kindness better than Disneyland? If you have been to Disneyland, and if you run into any kind of problem, the way they take care of it is the way we should take care of everything. It's one of the things that I so appreciate when I'm there. And if you're familiar with the fast pass system, you go and you can go get a fast pass out of a machine that tells you what time to come back to go on a ride, so you don't have to stand in a long line. And Rob and I got fast passes, just the two of us. We were separated from all this horde of people we were with. And for just the two of us, for a ride late on the second night, I think we were there. And then we ended up with our 9-year-old granddaughter, and we had this fast pass, and it was like, well, we only have two. And their correct, the legal answer would be, nope, you've only got two. But we go up and we say, we were not with our granddaughter when we got these. They said, oh, just take her on in, As long as you're not abusing things and you're doing things, they treat you well and with kindness. We can do well to do that in our lives, in all the time, practice kindness. And then, of course, to walk humbly with our God, or to stay in love with God, or to practice the means of grace, or to do those things which connect us most closely to God. And I go back to my morning walks and my delight in nature. And I have to, if you read my letter in the newsletter this week, I told you to go out and find the first trillium. And they don't usually bloom until the end of February. At least that's what I think around here, or 1st of March. The Newtons saw one this week. It was a little further south on the Chandler Grove. On the Avenue of the Giants, yes. But we were traveling back last night. I asked her for where it was, but we were passing there in the dark. So, and it was just starting. I couldn't do it. And then when she told me, she said they went off trail. And so, good luck. But be looking for those signs. This morning, what's one of the early signs of spring? And
cherry blossoms
in Tim's yard. What else?
Daffodils.
Yes, there's daffodils blooming right out in front of but so are the cherry blossoms, and we're seeing spring start to come, but I think the groundhog might get confused in Eureka today.
Yes.
There, exactly what time does the groundhog come out to check its shadow? But I invite you to do those things that keep you connected, and paying attention to God's beautiful creation is certainly one of them. Amen.
All right.